I will first read from Jiva Goswami, then from Bhaktisiddhanta, then from Prabhupada. Jiva Goswami says, asked the question, who did Bhishma see in his heart when he said, now I can meditate with full concentration upon that one Lord, Sri Krishna, now present before me, because now I have transcended the misconceptions of duality in regard to his presence in everyone's heart, even in the hearts of the mental speculators. He is in everyone's heart. The sun may be perceived differently, but the sun is one. In this verse, Bhishma Dev says, the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna is now present before me, Tamimam. He is present in the hearts of all. Then Jiva Goswami says, but others say, others conceive the personality of Godhead residing within the body in the region of the heart and measuring only 8 inches with 4 hands carrying a lotus, wheel of a chariot, a conch shell, and a club respectively. And the answer to this perplexing question, is it the two-handed form of Krishna? Is it the four-handed form of Vishnu? I have to summarize it. It's according to your devotion how Krishna reveals himself. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, the phrase in their hearts means Krishna is visible in proportion as their hearts are purified by the practice of devotion. The sum and substance of this shloka, this is the Premanjana shloka, is that the form of Krishna, who is Shyama Sunda, Natavara, the best of dancer, Murali Dara, holder of the flute, and Tribhanga, is not a mental concoction, but is transcendental and visible with the eye of the soul of the devotee under trance. A devotee, in other words, sees Shyama Sundara. I'm writing a book at the present moment. I'm still in the preparatory phases. It's called There Is No Death. It's a book for the common market, book market, and I have researched the near-death experiences and also, the experiences of people who went through the steps of dying and then died actually, and what they said. It's interesting. All of them see at some stage how a certain light comes and it seems to shine light on their path. What is happening from the Upanishadic vision is that one of the nadis, which go from the heart through the body, you can say energy channels if you want to have a modern word, becomes illuminated by the Paramatma, who then guides the soul out of the body into his next destination. And now it's interesting that Christians have seen in the light their worshipable deity, Buddhists have seen Buddha, devotees of Krishna described now like the rising sun, after a long night you appear. This is a prayer of a dying person in the Padyavali, it is quoted. According to your bhava, you see. I will end with Srila Prabhupada. This is one of my favorite quotations of Srila Prabhupada, and please honor it by giving me one time your full attention for today, one last time, and then we will have questions and answers, which is easier because it goes back and forth. The Hare Krishna mantra chanting means keeping Krishna always within your heart. It is not expensive at all. You haven't got to make a very exalted throne for Krishna. You can imagine that in my heart I have placed now a very diamond throne and Krishna is sitting. That is accepted. Actually, it becomes. Even within the mind, you think that I have kept one diamond throne, very costly throne, because Krishna is coming. He will sit down here. That is not false. That is a fact. So you create such situation within your heart. Now Krishna is seated. Let me wash his feet with the Ganges water, Yamuna water. Now I change his dress to a first-class costly garment. Then I decorate with ornaments. Then I give him for eating. You can simply think of this. This is meditation. Svantastena gadabrita. It is so nice thing. This seminar really is then has given a wrong title. How to make contact with... it has given the right title. I don't want to dramatize it like this. It means how to make contact with Krishna in the heart. Our worshipable deity whom we worship as Radha Gopinath, Radha Gokulananda, and so on. Okay, so this was a little theoretical. I thought it was interesting. From tomorrow on, it will be extremely practical. And now I would like to respond to questions which are here amongst you. If you have any questions regarding the last days which are still within you. Mm-hmm. This is only, it is not necessary, this is only a thank you.
Thank you very much for a very enlivening few days. And also I wanted to say that one thing that stood out so much for me, is it working?
Yeah.
Anyway, is when you were talking about yesterday, or maybe it was the day before, but how to pray, but also how to give affirmations to Krishna. When you're trying to change the core of your being and the affirmation, because Krishna loves me and I feel protected, and those things were, I think, very special for so many devotees I speak with, is to be able to repeat affirmations like that to clear the mind at an elementary stage. That was very important, I felt, for so many people. Not just to say it once a day, but to say it 20 times a day and to repeat that.
Thank you. Yes. We need someone like who is quick as a dragon and intelligent like a dog. This is in the Chinese terminology. I'm in the wrong culture at the moment. Who is very fast with the microphones. Please. There was a devotee, as far as I remember.
Many times I find it very difficult, right? I see Krishna in many ways, because also we have the deities. Sometimes we see the deities here, very beautiful deities, where Krishna is white. And other places we see him as Shyam Sundar, as black. And some in paintings also we see him as blue.
Yeah.
So I don't know, can you elaborate on that?
This is a very good question, yes. May I give my answer? Because there are many ways of approaching this answer. Ultimately, let us start philosophically. It's always the same Krishna visualized from different perspectives who appears black, white, four-handed, as Gauranga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or ultimately as a holy name. It's the same Krishna, same person. The example which is given is a Suryakanta jewel. I've never seen one, but I've heard that according to the direction the sun shines on it, it gives a different color, but it is the same jewel. It is only viewed differently according to the perspective. A more personal answer, why Krishna is white, he is always with Radharani, who is full of fulgence, and he's influenced greatly. this is not a personal, sorry, I didn't want to say it. It's not a personal answer. I've heard this, that Prabhupada once said this to this question. But here comes the personal answer. I really think that what we think Krishna to be at a beginner state in Krishna consciousness, at the middle stage, and at a more realized stage, will be different. I remember how Prabhupada once illustrated this point. He was asked, how does Krishna look like? And he pointed to a painting of Lord Krishna, which was behind him, like this. Then he turned back to the questioner, and he said, and if you see him, you will see he looks totally different. Now, I think what we can understand at this moment of Krishna is like the point from Nyaya. Where is the moon, mother? Where is the moon? Oh, child. Child, look there at the tree. Between the third and the second branch, there's the moon. Is the moon really there? No, he is far away from the tree, in his own skyness, dwelling in his own skyness, surrounded by the sky. So in the same way, the scriptures give us some understanding so that we look in the right direction. And if we follow the processes given by scriptures, then only comes the direct experience of the Lord, who is very, very transcendental. When giving this explanation, I always a scene comes to mind. I was once going by a painting studio, I believe it was in Delhi, and the painter had put a beautiful fat baby on the tree, on the tree, the chair. You know, the ideal in India of beauty is sometimes fatness for babies and for men, rich men. They are supposed to be fat because it means affluence. There's sufficient money and sufficient ghee and butter and things. So, yes, fat is beautiful in some cultural circles in India. So they have painted a beautiful picture of Krishna by drawing exactly from this fat, beautiful baby who looked very ugly according to a Western understanding. This painting, or a similar painting, I can't say, made it into the Vrindavan Loi Bazaar shops. A painting of Krishna painted by fencing the beautiful or ugly things of this world, you know, depending for what cultural perspective you look. This is not God. So what we, but many ISKCON Matajis have also put this picture. Wow, so nice. I wish a child like this. He is like my child. Krishna is very transcendental. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Gaurangi, our last question. You are known for phrasing your questions very short, and I appreciate that very much.
It's short. When you're very attracted to the form of Krishna and a deity, let's say, and he's the one you feel inspired, attracted, and even appears to you sometimes, what does that mean? Does that mean you have any...
If you are attracted to Krishna in any way, some way or other, it's very good. Once there was a young Mataji who was crying before the deity, and everyone said, he was very sentimental, and most probably that was a proper assessment of the situation. This Mataji Leelavati, was her name, came to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, very nice that you cry for Krishna. Because as an acharya, he said, somehow or other become attracted to Krishna. Even at the beginning, we are most probably not pure, but we have to start somewhere. And when we make contact with Krishna out of this or that situation, we will become purified. That's why I am so happy in the Hare Krishna movement. Yesterday, Ravindra Swarup said to me in a private conversation, he said, you only get to know the world of men when you join the Hare Krishna movement. Because ordinarily you would surround yourself only with friends, but in the Hare Krishna movement you meet all different kinds of varieties of human beings on the scala of humanness. And you're together with them, and you get to know them in some ways. We should appreciate everyone, even if we think, if he is making contact with Krishna, even if we think it's not my style really. By that contact, if it keeps on remaining in contact, he or she will be purified and become wonderful eventually. So I thank you very, very much for your presence. And please do come now from now on. Please be with us for the rest of us. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Then I want to encourage you to stay with us for the rest of the course. And the reason why this is so is this. The day before yesterday and yesterday, we did preparational work. We prepared ourselves for the remainder of the course. Now, the preparation of a meal is always indicative that the real thing will come when the meal is cooked. And the same with the preparation of a seminar means now we, from today on, we will go into the real how to make contact question. But I want to make sure that especially yesterday's class was understood by you. What was yesterday's class all about in relationship to our subject, how to make contact with the Super Soul? This is a question which requires a little thought. Why did we talk yesterday about some insights into Vedic psychology? Yes. The answer of this devotee is, in order to understand the Super Soul, we have to understand how the mind works. That was your answer. Core beliefs and how thinking, feeling and willing move from there. Any other idea? I'm not commenting the answers, I'm only collecting. The waves are there, yes. Mm-hmm. I think both of you have summarized it very nicely. And together your answer is complete. Yes, we do need to understand what is in between our goal. In philosophy, Prabhupada expresses this, we have to understand the goal directly and indirectly. It comes in citing the Lord's answer, this chapter of the second canto. One has to understand Krishna both directly and indirectly. Directly means we understand who is Krishna, what is his form, what are his qualities, so on, up to his lila. And indirectly means we understand what separates us at this moment from Krishna and has to be overcome in order to go there. And yesterday we were explaining about conditioned and influenced mind, which is materialistic and so on. Good. Thank you very much. Now we will enter into the second and the main part of the seminar, and that is how can we establish the connection with the Lord within the heart. In one quotation which we have read earlier, Srila Prabhupada seemed to say that it is as easy as working a TV set. He said, within your heart there is God and there is also a receiver for God. So there is a TV in your heart which can show you God and his activities, and you will be able to talk with him. You only have to repair the machine. This process which we will now describe is ideas how you can repair the machine, how you can make the contact. But I want to encourage all of you that this path will remain a very individual path. What I can hope in this seminar to give is some impetuses, thought impetuses, which will make you think how to do your own contact with the Super Soul. First of all, I want to say that we all have a relationship with Krishna. From a spiritual point of view, really, there is only one relationship, and that is the relationship between the jiva and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. From this relationship, all other relationships develop between the souls, because in the spiritual world, the souls are all related to each other in service to that one that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In a spiritual movement like ours, when we form relationships, we always need Krishna to be in that relationship. Let us take a relationship where this is not obvious, the relationship of a loving husband and his loving wife. In this world, to have a third one in such a relationship is always problematic. It is called a triangle relationship, which always ends, maybe not always, but most of the times, in the court. Now, with whom do you want to be? This will be the question. In a spiritual relationship, you need a triangle relationship, and the third is Krishna. In his very clear way, Prabhupada made this clear to us by saying, if persons want to talk to each other or want to be with each other, they need the sun. When there is no sun, they can't see each other. So if you have a relationship in this world and you forget to include Krishna in the relationship, it will be a relationship which is not on the spiritual platform, which is in a way lacking the dimension of spiritual vision. You will see each other as material bodies maybe, but you won't see yourself as you really are, that is, as parts of Krishna. Now, sometimes devotees are not sufficiently aware that Krishna, if they wish to be act as devotees and not as the shadows of devotees, but have a substantial life, Krishna needs to be there in all their transactions so that they can remain on the spiritual platform, because spiritually we receive our life and our vision from Lord Krishna only. So Krishna wants us to come back into this relationship, this one relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And devotees sometimes are not so sure about this. See, when we speak of establishing our contact with Krishna, I think the immediate question is, does Krishna want to make contact with me? Does Krishna want? It takes two to tango, they say in Germany, or here in Krishna consciousness, it takes the Lord and the living entity to really make a connect. So that we can speak of a connection. So I want to quote to you something which will give you happiness and enthusiasm in your spiritual life. It is, I will say later where this quotation is. The Lord is more anxious to take us back into his kingdom than we can desire. Most of us do not desire at all to go back to Godhead. Only very few men want to go back to Godhead. But anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Sri Krishna helps in all respects. The Lord is more anxious to take us back into his kingdom than we can desire. If you wish to read this very beautiful piece, it is in the purport of the first Srimad Bhagavatam, 1 to number 17. Hare Krishna. So because our seminar will be highly practical from now on, I want to start with a little exercise which we have learned already in our counseling skill seminar. I wish you to form, what is your word? Do it. Dyad. A dyad means pairs of devotees, where one devotee is devotee A and another devotee B. Please do this. Okay, are you in full formation? Who of you will be devotee A? Thank you. And who will be devotee B? Yes. Now please take your working sheet out. Exercise sheet number 2. We will do like this. Devotee A, you please need to listen very concentrated because we want to be very fast. We have many things to do today. Devotee A is the journalist who interviews devotee B. Yes, you meet as, but it's a friendly journalist, an empathic journalist, so to say. And the journalist will ask devotee B, the question, what kind of God is Krishna for you? What do you feel for him? Is he a loving God, full of understanding, a kind God? Does he care for you? Is he playful, unfathomable, and full of tricks? Is he faithful? Is he in a distance? Is he full of revenge? Frightful, absent, full of rage, impersonal. Try to describe him. Write down whatever comes to the mind. Now, devotee A, the journalist, will write down as devotee B, the devotee, the interviewer, will give him his description about it. Before you start, think again about the questions. It is about you have to say what type of devotee, what type of God is Krishna for you? What is your relationship to Krishna now? Please say now, not what you hope one day he will be for you. Okay, you have 3 minutes because interviews are very short always. Concentrated newspaper atmosphere for a moment. This exercise would be complete if I now asked another question and we changed roles, but because the time factor is really not on our side, we have such a short time allotted for good reasons. I mean, we have many other seminars to come. I just wanted to get you thinking a little on your own before I come to what could possibly be a very interesting viewing experience for you. I want to show to you how a devotee of God was searching very much for his relationship with Krishna. Whatever I say now has to be taken with an skeptical mind, but I can hint you. Go here. See, in our tradition we learn that there are four sources of receiving wisdom. Wisdom is often said vijnana, to be vijnana, practical realization. And I want to read these four sources to you and then see what you consider the most valid source of wisdom in your own spiritual life. There's first, your own experience. Second, there is the experience of others which you can relate to. Let us say someone has experienced a visit in Sridharmayapur and a bath in Mother Ganga. You have not yet experienced this, and he comes home to your home temple and tells of his experience. And because this devotee is close to you, you can relate to his experience. And at the end of your little discussion, you say, "It felt like being there, Prabhu." This is the second way you can gather experiences or wisdom. Wisdom. The third way is from studying and understanding Shastra. That's especially relevant when we come to a transcendental subject matter, which we hear about from Shastra, and we then understand it even, maybe even with the help of devotees and so on. And the wisdom also comes, this is from one Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, fourth, by accepting the guidance of the super soul. I think we all know this, that sometimes we may do something in our lives and we may have a vague feeling that whatever we did was not so complete or so properly done from our side, but we are vague about it. Then and next morning you wake up, you chant your rounds, and maybe during the rounds, or maybe even during the Bhagavatam class, all of a sudden you understood the situation you were in yesterday in a spiritual way, and you feel, oh, Krishna showed me something. I think we often use this terminology. Krishna made it clear to me. Krishna showed me. This was Krishna's mercy, and so on. We understand, in other words, a situation from another spiritual perspective, which gives us a wisdom perspective. Let me ask you again, because I have explained it now, I will go through them again and ask you what you in your life consider the most valuable source of gaining wisdom. Your own experience, the experience of others you can relate to, what you study and understand from Shastra, or the guidance of the super soul? It's an interesting question. I think there is not a right answer and a wrong answer. There are just different answers because we are different individuals. Shastra. That's always sure. Give the reason why you, with one word, why you like to accept in this way, why you prefer to accept in this way with your wisdom. Mm-hmm. Yes. For me, all the four are the same. Why? Okay, I use all the four, the devotee said, but the super soul is most prominent for me, and the others eight. I'm very encouraged when I read something in the Shastra, I follow it and it works. I feel, wow, I think we all know this, wow, example. Yes, Maharaj? Own experience. Maharaj says the perceiver is the most important thing and perception is the most important in activity. So all the other things are really experienced. What others tell you, it makes sense to you, you experience, yes. What you study and understand Shastra, yes, it's your experience and the Super Soul guidance also. Thank you very much. I think accepting the guidance of the Super Soul.
Then you recognize that was the Super Soul, because everything.
Then you understand the Super Soul does everything in your life. Thank you very much. Now we will move into medieval Italy. We will watch one individual struggling to become enlightened in spiritual wisdom. It's San Francisco of Assisi, who had just founded a huge order, the Franciscans, and he saw it did not work. His brothers were quarreling, they were less than spiritual, they wanted nice rooms, and so on. There were politics, and so on and so forth. And he thought, maybe I did the wrong thing. I had an experience of God. I formalized it in an order. And now everyone is in this order, an institutionalized monk who is not really for spiritual experience and life, but who thinks material values are in the forefront of the attention. And he was desperate. He was so desperate that the only person he could turn to, he thought, was God, to find an answer from him. And we will see now his search. With this video, I do not want to say, I want to make you thinking. I want to think how you, I want you to ask questions. What do you think of his approach? What has this approach to do with your attempt to establish a connection with the Supreme Lord? Is it relevant? Is it irrelevant? What do you think of the answer of God as it is shown? As far as I have heard, I'm not an expert, but I've heard from a professor, this is an authentic description from what happened by this filmmaker. It is not an over dramatization or, let us say, a Hollywood version. That is what I have heard, and I request you to take it like this, that this was what happened. We start at a scene where he wants to have an answer of God. We need the sound. He has gone in the solitude, he's all alone in the forest, and he wishes God to speak to him.
God.
Oh God.
Herr.
Lord.
Antwort.
Please answer.
Sprich doch zu mir.
Speak to me. I have to put some drama in my voice, please excuse me, but I have to be a loyal translator here. Thank you.
Ich, Leone, ich würde an Franziskos Stelle nicht immer mehr bei der Wahl oder
Leone, genommen haben. If I would have been Francisco,
und besonders nicht die,
I would not have taken so many brothers in the order.
Bleib einfach hin.
Especially not those who were not spiritually serious.
Ihren Einwänden. Haben Sie ihn nur gedemütigt?
They were humbling him with their objections, with their constant nagging, constant problems. He was so desperate. He thought he had done everything wrong. He thought the mission God had given him was not really a mission, it was his imagination.
Das waren seine bösesten Stunden.
These were his most terrible hours.
Franziskus! Franziskus!
Theology, not philosophy. But nevertheless,
Deus
mi dixit. Deus mi dixit. Deus God has spoken to me. And he has given me a mission. Believe me. Yes, sure. He has given you a message. Yes. But maybe it was just my imagination.
Nein, hat zu dir gesagt.
No,
folge mir nach.
He said, follow me.
Ist ihm gefolgt.
You followed him.
Aber musste dafür leiden. Hast du nicht auch leiden?
He was suffering for me. Have you not suffered?
So viele. Ich kenne so viele, die viel mehr gelitten haben als
ich. I know so many more who have suffered so much more than me.
Hatten es immer sehr leicht.
We had it always very simple.
Nicht immer.
No, not always.
Ich kenne so viele.
I know so many.
Die viel mehr als wir.
Who have suffered so much more than us.
Haben leiden müssen und wir konnten ihnen nicht helfen.
And we couldn't help them.
Nicht im geringsten.
Not here is the Christian philosophy. You have to, God has suffered for us, and we should also suffer to get for him.
Ich möchte allein sein.
I want to be alone.
Wenn es aber wichtig ist, dann komm zu mir.
If it's important, however, you can come to me. Please speak to me.
Speak to me.
Speak to me. Speak to me. Speak. Why don't you speak?
Speak to me.
Ist dir was passiert?
Has something happened to you?
Was ist denn?
What is?
Zeig doch mal her.
Show.
Hast du dir wehgetan?
Did you fall down?
Er hat geantwortet.
He answered.
Er hat zu mir gesprochen.
He answered, he spoke to me.
Gott hat zu mir gesprochen.
God spoke to me.
Deus mi dixit.
Deus mi dixit.
Deus mi dixit. Er hat mit mir gesprochen. Genauso hat es sich zugetan.
Hare Krishna, we can get the light, please. So, this requires some Vaishnav discussion. despite the fact that we could see that Hollywood actors can pretend to cry in love of God, and what comes to your mind? Were your own way to make contact with the super soul look like this? Today, Ravindraswaru Prabhu was telling us we must accept austerity on this path. Do you think there's something relevant? Where do you think it is not relevant to our culture? What are your thoughts? Yes, please. I thought if I would have a little longing like this when I chant my rounds, I would be happy. Mm-hmm. Yes, Madhuri. Fortunate to have been given such exalted prayers, and one day from the heart we can realize. Yes. 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 Our devotee in the back. Yes. Speak. I can hear you. And.
Mean it, and really, this man is really begging for God. He's really with full with everything.
Yes.
Really, I mean, you have to really mean it from the deepest point, and then.
Yes, I think that comes always over in the audience. Yeah. That yes, the intensity. He was not shallow in his concern. Yeah. I'm looking at Jayavetta Maharaj because his comments are always very. Enriching and so on, but I think you're formulating your comments still.
I've taken a vow of silence.
Hare Krishna. Yes. Dear Govinda Prabhu, you feel comfortable, or would you like to think a little bit before responding? Or
I was just going to reinforce what the Prabhu said, the very single-pointed attention, intention. He had such clear intention that all he wanted was God. And that's what Prabhupada wants us to have.
We will have one more Mataji to comment. Would you like to comment? For whom? For Francisco. You feel compassionate for him. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Oh, Mataji feels a deep sense of compassion, because she sees that everyone has a deep desire to obtain the Lord. But if he would have a guru, he would save trouble, guidance. Mm-hmm. Thank you very, very much. My own comment to this is, I think we can learn in two ways, directly and indirectly, from the history of San Francisco of Assisi. Directly, we can learn about Lilium, making this search the prime focus of our life, the search for God. And indirectly, we can learn, he was very much fighting in the darkness, as the brother said. These were his darkest hours. He was almost confronting death from starvation and mortification and so on. Krishna has revealed a path, the Vedic path, or the, as Prabhupada calls it, the Vedic adventure. It's at one place where we can purify our hearts in a way that one day the Lord will appear there. It is an authorized path where we are not, where it is naturally that sometimes we have some doubt, but the path itself is doubt-free because it is given to us by our spiritual master, and it is it works because the many authorities in the past and in the present the devotees show. But I think, and that's the reason why I wanted to show this video to you, one of the reasons is that you begin to understand establishing contact with the super soul is something, if you are serious about it, it is good if you are serious about it. Let me say it like this. It is good if you can learn, this is what we can learn from other traditions, some of them seem to be very serious. Not that we don't have this in our own traditions, but when we look and we find such examples, then we can take encouragement. Like Prabhupada, he said, yes, San Francisco was a devotee. He prayed, brother, son, sister, moon, yes. Now, I want to read to you a very nice and a very encouraging comment of Srila Prabhupada on how the Lord speaks to a devotee. In the Adi Lila, if you wish to write this down, it's certainly a good place to read. Chapter 1, text 49, Krishnadas Kaviraj quotes one of our verses on receiving light from the Super Soul. It's a Bhagavad Gita verse, which is quoted from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Prabhupada makes a beautiful purport, which I think you will like. This verse of the Bhagavad Gita, 10.10, clearly states how Govinda Dev instructs his bona fide devotees. The Lord declares that by enlightenment in theistic knowledge, he awards attachment for him to those who constantly engage in his transcendental loving service. So a devotee engages in devotional service and then gets attachment for Krishna. Oh, you are very, very important in my life for me. The beginning of attachment. This awakening of divine consciousness enthralls a devotee. May I ask our English knowers and relishers what means enthralls a devotee? Enthralls. It completely captures the devotee. It excites him when he has this divine consciousness, this awakened consciousness of, oh Krishna, you are very important for me. This awakening of divine consciousness enthralls a devotee who thus relishes his eternal transcendental mellow. Such an awakening is awarded only to those convinced by devotional service about the transcendental nature of the personality of Godhead. They know that the Supreme Truth, the all-spiritual and all-powerful person, is one without a second and has fully transcendental senses. He is the fountainhead of all emanations. Such pure devotees, always merged in knowledge of Krishna, are like great scientists. They exchange their views and discuss the results of their research in scientific academies. Such exchanges of thoughts in regards to Krishna give pleasure to the Lord, who therefore favors such devotees with all enlightenment. Hare Krishna. Wonderful. Wonderful. We know how to go. And we wish all the best for all others. Now, I want to address a very short question and then open the forum for your own questions. This is a very important question. It is a question which many had for a long time. That I hoped to. Who does speak to you or give you inspirations? Is it a four-armed form of the Lord? Who is super soul? Is she an expansion of Chirodakashayi Vishnu, a four-armed Vishnu form? Here Prabhupada seems it is Govindadev. He seems to say it is Govindadev who speaks. Who speaks? Or are they the same? Who can give clarification in this matter? Do you think it is a valuable question? See, we want to be Krishna's devotees. No? We call it the Hare Krishna movement. Now Super Soul, this is the Narayan movement, the Vishnu movement. Who is speaking? What is in this perplexing field of endeavor? Think about it. I will read to you something from Bhagavad Sandarva, and actually I will first read from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Now, how will I read?